Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
March 7th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, wedding bells. Well, I just finished my first wedding of the season yesterday, and I was very lucky. It's raining in Northern California right now. In fact, hopefully you won't hear too much of that in the background. We have the pitter-patter of raindrops and cars driving on wet streets in the background here at my studio in Santa Rosa. But I was really fortunate because yesterday was one of those magical days where it had rained prior to Saturday, and then today's Sunday. I'm recording the show on Sunday, and then today it's raining. It's supposed to be raining all week, but on Saturday itself, the sky cleared up, and we were able to have a good old-fashioned wedding here in Northern California. It's terrific. So as I was doing the wedding, taking pictures and, you know, trying to figure out how to do this or that, I was thinking, boy, this would be something that I should talk about on the show, because for me, wedding photography embodies just about all the skills a photographer needs for, you know, doing interactive photography, taking pictures of people. For example, if you take pictures at a 50th anniversary celebration, well, that's sort of like a wedding without the ceremony. And for example, if you are taking shots at your daughter's graduation, let's say she's graduating from high school or something like that, well, then that's a wedding without the reception. And it kind of goes on and on and on from there. You could have all sorts of fun with this notion, but at the end of the day, the way that it works out is that if you shoot a wedding from start to finish, you are going to use most of the skills that you have. Now, I know this not only because I've been shooting weddings for a long time, but whenever I have someone new come on board to help me, I sort of notice, and right away it becomes clear where his or her weak spots are in terms of, you know, doing live photography. And I had a new assistant start yesterday, and her name is Paige, and she's a very good photographer, and she had come out of the school of existing light photography only. Which I think existing light, as we've talked about on the show many times, existing light is fabulous, but there are times when you just have to turn on the flash. And so before we did our first wedding assignment together, I actually did a little tutorial with her about how I like to use flash photography and when I like to use flash at a wedding. And, you know, I use a bracket and all that kind of dedicated flash cord. But I noticed, and she practiced and so forth, but I noticed yesterday while we were under the gun and trying to do things in real time that she really did struggle with using the flash at certain points of the day. So wedding photography really does challenge all of your skills, and I think it's something kind of cool for us to talk about. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk a little bit about the technical stuff and a little bit about the philosophy of wedding photography in terms of approach, and it's just a subject at this point in the season, since it is early, it's still March, is probably a good time in case you are being roped into maybe shooting a wedding this year, or you're even thinking about maybe doing a little wedding photography on the side. And it is a good sideline for photographers because it pays the bills, and at the same time, you don't have to do a whole lot. You don't have to do very many weddings a season to generate enough money to kind of keep the rest of your photography boat afloat. Okay, so before I do that, as always, I just want to cover a little bit of housekeeping. The photography assignment for this month is friends, and I'm already getting entries. I can tell, it's interesting, this is only the third one, and I can tell when people like the topic and when they don't like the topic. Fur, a lot of people were quite challenged by fur, and some people, I think, were just plain turned off by it. And I have the first shots up on the site right now, and actually it turned out really well. I was very, very happy with the end results. But the entries came in late, and people were saying, I kept scratching my head, and finally, you know, something dawned on me, and so forth. I don't think we're going to have that problem with friends, because I already have entries coming in, and it's going to be hot. It's going to be fun. So start working on your entry for friends, and make sure that you get it in by the end of March. And if you have any questions about how to submit it, just go to the, just click on the submissions button at the top of the site, and it'll take you right there and tell you how to do it. And while you're there, it will also tell you how to submit a grab shot. And they're starting to roll, you know, they kind of ebb and flow a little bit, and they're starting to roll in again, which I'm very pleased about. And I have another good one that I'm going to run maybe today. Maybe I'll post it along with today's show. So keep those grab shots coming. Keep working on them. I think it's very important to think about photography when you're out and about. Make sure you have a camera with you. Keep your eye peeled, because that's when you're going to get those cool shots that everyone goes, wow, you know, I've seen something like that, but I didn't have a camera with me. And I, you know, and then you go, yeah, but I did, and I have it. And not only that, it's published. You know, so there. Okay, let's get back to wedding bells here. So I'm just going to kind of give you an overview of how I approach a wedding. I do about, 8 or 9 a season. It's not the, you know, the way that I look at weddings for my photography business here in Northern California, story photography, is that I like to do enough weddings to cover all of my overhead, my rent for my studio, and pay my utilities, and you know, afford a few new lenses a year. But I don't like to do so many weddings that I get burned out on them, and that can happen. So I sort of try to keep it to like 8 or 9, somewhere in there a year. But my overall approach is that once I'm talking to a client, and the first contact usually comes online through my website. They'll send me, I have a little form you can fill out, and it comes in, and they let me know that they're interested in learning more about my wedding package. I usually write them back with whatever information they're looking for. And then at some point, if they like what I'm doing, if they like the pictures they see, and they like the pricing and so forth, I just put all my prices up online. I don't really want to mess around with that. And it's, by the way, if you want to take a look at that, it's storyphoto.com. And that's sort of the entry site where people come in for weddings. And when I list my website in the phone book, it's that URL. And, you know, it's been around for a long time. That site's been around since 1997. So it kind of shows up in all the search engines and all that sort of stuff. And believe it or not, almost all of my wedding business comes in either through referrals from people who have already endured me for a whole day of matrimonial fun, or they just find me searching for, you know, wedding photographers in Northern California. And it's really great. I don't do wedding shows, and I don't really advertise. I have a Yellow Pages ad, but I pretty much keep it low key. And when you're only doing 8 or 9 a year, you can, you know, you can get away with that. So once they contact me and we go back and forth, I usually have a phone conversation with them and just ask them, well, you know, what kind of what approach to photography are you interested in, and what's important to you, and what do you like, and that kind of stuff. And then it also gives me a chance to tell, it's almost always the bride-to-be that I'm talking to on the phone. Not always, but most of the time. And once I get a feel for what she has to say, then I tell her a little bit about my approach, which is very much photojournalistic. I do all the group shots, and I do all the standard shots that people want. But at the end of the day, the shots that people really get excited about later on when I show them to them are almost always the candids. And candid photography for weddings and for anything like a wedding, I think, is of vital importance. So the way that it works, at least from my point of view, is that, yes, you do the family shots, you do the shot of the bridal court, you do all that kind of stuff that you have to do because everyone is there and they're dressed up and they're looking about as good as they're ever going to look. So you got to get that stuff. And you got to be organized about it and move through it quickly. And so when they see those shots, they go, yes, we have those. Ah, sigh of relief. I feel good. But then what you have to go beyond that. And what the shots that will excite them and really, you know, give them that emotional charge are when you catch an off moment with a candid, maybe their mom and their dad having a special moment, little kids interacting, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that really gets people. So I like to have the group shots be no more than about 25% of the overall shooting, another 25% in terms of a ceremony. And then the rest of it, I like to be, you know, candids and the events at the reception, because that's really the fun stuff. Now, the way I keep that all organized is that I actually develop a shot list. And I think this is a very good idea. And in the show notes for this episode, I will put my beginning shot list. And I do this all through email. I send them the shot list that you'll see on the show notes. And it's just a traditional, you know, plain Jane kind of shot list. But it gives a starting point, and it really helps people start thinking about the flow of their wedding day. And flow is very, very important. Because the one thing you don't want to have happen is have something bogged down somewhere. And photographers, a lot of times, get the rap that, hey, you know, the ceremony's over, we want to start having fun at the reception, and the photographer's got them tied up for an hour and a half taking pictures. And well, that's a semi-legitimate rap, because I think with planning, photographers can really cut down those periods where you tie up the bride and groom and kind of keep the party moving along. And a big way that I do that is by putting together a shot list that has, okay, what are we going to do before the ceremony? Do you want shots of you getting ready? Do you want some family shots? Are you going to see the groom before the ceremony? Because if you are, if it's okay to see the groom before the ceremony, let's do all the group shots then and get them out of the way. And boy, that's what we did yesterday. And more and more, I'm getting to do that, because they don't care so much about whether or not they see each other before the ceremony. And if they're fine with seeing each other before the ceremony, take the group shots then. Get them out of the way. Let's start an hour and a half before the ceremony. Let's do all the family shots and, you know, all, you know, the friend shots and everything that you want. Have them out of the way. And then that way we can go to the ceremony. You can get married, and then you can flow right into the reception. And boy, you know, when that happens, that's really terrific. I really like that a lot. And you work all this out on the shot list. So I start out with the shots that I think, you know, they should consider. They're allowed to take out the ones that they don't want and then add the ones that are important to them. Most of the time, those are kind of group shoddy sort of things. And then they sort of put them where they think they belong. This is the bride and groom I'm talking about. And then I analyze that and go, oh, you know, here you got this big, you know, group of shots that's going to happen right after the ceremony. Just looking at this, I can tell it's going to take an hour or so. What if we move this shot here? Can we do this shot over here? Can we do them before? Can we do some of them at the reception and do them more informally? Let's say the ones of your college buddies, you know, do we have to do, you know, a formal shot right after you get married? And on and on and on, and try to spread out that shot list a little bit. Those required shots, so that you're not tying things up for big periods of time. And then, of course, you also look at when you're going to cut the cake. Are you going to do the bouquet toss, first dance, dance with parents? Are you going to do a money dance? You know, on and on and on, all those sort of events. And I actually try to tie times and places to all of those key events, because I want to know basically when they're going to happen, and if possible, intervene and make sure that things keep moving for the guests. The last thing that anyone wants to have happen at the wedding is just the whole thing to sort of grind to a halt. People get hungry. They get to where maybe they don't want to have any more to drink unless they're doing something or eating something, and on and on and on. So you have to kind of keep the whole thing flowing along. Now, that's not your job per se as a photographer, but you believe it or not, between you and the DJ, you are the wedding coordinator, and there may or may not be a formal wedding coordinator. It seems to fall upon you to be the ones to sort of keep this going. So the more you talk about it before, the more you think about it, the better off you are. Now, once you have the shot list, and you've both gone back and forth two or three times, and you've agreed upon all the different events, then as a photographer, you can start planning. And there are certain things you really got to get your head around. The first one is, is it an indoor or outdoor wedding? If it's outdoors, great, no problem. Those are the easiest ones in terms of lighting because you have light, and then you can use your fill flash outdoors if you want, and the shots just turn out beautifully. Outdoor weddings, especially in the late afternoon when the light's not too harsh, are just gorgeous. I love shooting those. But if it's an outdoor wedding in the middle of the day in the summer where everyone's going to be dying and the light's going to be really harsh, then you kind of need to be ready for that because your flash is going to have a hard time balancing out those harsh shadows that are going to be on the people's faces. So one of the things I like to do is I like to scout out the area if I can and take a look at it about the time that the wedding is going to be happening so that I know ahead of time, what I'm in for in terms of lighting. And if it's going to be very harsh or very difficult or the light's going to be shining right in the bride's eyes or something like that, I want to know about that ahead of time. And if there's any chance that you can say, I know you have your plan set, but just so you know, this is going to be the lighting and this will be the way the pictures turn out. Do you want to move it, over here to this spot or do something like that? If they say no, no problem. You'll do the best you can. But I do sort of feel a professional responsibility to let people know ahead of time how things are going to happen. Okay. Now, if you're indoors, whole different thing. Most times indoors, they even lower the lights during the wedding ceremony. So if you're thinking existing light photography, you may have your work cut out for you. If you do like to shoot this stuff existing light, or if you're forced to, especially with Catholic ceremonies, a lot of times you're allowed to use flash up until the ceremony begins, for instance, as people are entering, as the bride and groom make their entrance during the processional. But then you're not allowed to use your flash again until the priest presents them to the congregation and they do their recessional. And then you can turn your flash back on. A lot of times in between those two endpoints on a Catholic ceremony, you have to have your flash off. So you need to know that ahead of time, and you need to have the bride and groom check with the priest or the coordinator for that particular church, parish, cathedral, and find out what the rules are so you can start planning. Now, one of the things that I do that I think works out really well, and it seems to score points with the couple too, is I like to go to the rehearsal. And the rehearsal, most of the time, is the night before, usually on a Friday night, if the wedding is Saturday. And it's a terrific opportunity because you get to meet the officiant, the priest, or the pastor, whomever. And you get to meet the wedding coordinator, if there's a wedding coordinator for the parish. You get to meet all the family and tell them what the game plan is because you have your shot list already figured out. So this is a great time to say or have the bride say to the family, okay, now, remember, we're doing this big family shot right after the ceremony, so don't wander off, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to make our exit on the recessional, and then we're going to loop around, and we'll be back up here at the altar. We need you all to hang out up here while the rest of the room clears out so we can do our group shot and then move on to the reception. rehearsal is a great time to cover all that kind of stuff. It's very, very helpful. And as I said, it's just a really good PR thing. People just seem to feel good about, you know, they go, wow, I can't believe you're here. I've never seen a photographer at the rehearsal before. And, you know, that's where you just get to smile and say, well, you know, that's just the kind of guy I am. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. So rehearsal helps you figure this sort of stuff out. So if you can't use flash, then you're going to have to think about, you know, fast lenses. And we've talked about this in earlier podcasts. But something like, you know, your 50-1.8, your 85-1.8, maybe a 28 f1.8. And if you're shooting it digitally, you need to really understand your camera's ISO and know how far you can push your ISO settings and still get quality images. On my 5D, which my Canon 5D, which I use for weddings, now I can go up to 800 no problem, and it's awfully darn good. And if I need to, I can push it up to 1600, depending on the situation. Although I, for weddings, I like to keep it at 800 ISO, 800 or below. But your camera may vary, and so you need to know that before you go in. You need to know how far you can push the ISO and still get good results. Okay, so now if you can use flash during the ceremony, I have a couple things I want to remind you about all of that. Don't abuse the privilege of being able to use flash during the ceremony. In other words, don't go pop, 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 pop during the whole thing, because it just drives people crazy. And a lot of times the reason why you can't use flash for wedding ceremonies is because of all the photographers that preceded you that abused the privilege and just sort of acted like jerks. Remember, the wedding is for the bride and groom, their family, their friends, and everyone else that attends. And so you have to fit into that situation. Your job is to come away with great pictures and to be noticed as little as possible. This is one of the reasons why that I actually like to use two photographers during the ceremony. I usually go up to the front of the altar, and I usually hang out as you're facing the altar on the right side so that I have a good look at the bride during the ceremony. But I try to keep it up into that little area there. One thing I never, ever, ever, ever do is cross in front of the action during the ceremony. Do not walk in front of the people that are up on the altar during the ceremony. If I do have to go to the other side, then you go down the side of the room all the way to the back and circle around and come up the other side. Now, a way that I get around that, because you know, something interesting could happen while I'm doing that and I would miss a shot, is I do like to have a second photographer there who works the center aisle. And a lot of times he or she will come up and have a nice straightaway shot of what's going on and can cover that action while I work the side. And it's really great having two cameras for a wedding ceremony, because it's like having two video cameras when you shoot a movie, in that you can get those angles and go back and forth. Now, regardless if you're shooting it by yourself or with another person, then the rule is there are only certain shots that you need during the ceremony. There are certain basic shots. You know, the bride and groom standing there, the officiant talking to them, maybe some of the expressions on the wedding court people, the ring ceremony, if they're lighting a candle, you want to get that, the kiss, and then when they're presented to the congregation before they do the recessional. That's pretty much all you need, to tell you the truth. So I really advise against going crazy with the flash during the ceremony. You can do a lot of that with, you know, anywhere from like 12 to 18 frames. And that way you're not bothering folks as much as you would if you were just kind of clicking away with the flash firing off. So, the bottom line, what I'm trying to say, even if you do use flash, try to show some restraint. Get the shots that you need, and then leave it at that. Now, also, keep in mind that if you're in a darkened room, as you often will be during a wedding ceremony, is that, you know, red eye is always a potential problem. So the thing that you want to do is, and I'll put a link to the flash bracket that I recommend, is make sure that your flash is on a bracket. You know, don't mount it right in the hot shoe of your camera, because the flash head is too close to the lens and you'll get red eye. So what you want to do is get that flash up away from the lens, put it on a bracket that flips. You'll need an external dedicated cord to go between the camera and your flash. And the flash manufacturer always makes those so that it's an accessory that you can get with your flash. And have the flash up. If you do that, then you won't have to worry about red eye at all. You will not get red eye with a flash bracket, even in the darkest of rooms. And it also helps with the shadows, too, so that if your subject is near a wall when you take the shot, the shadow won't be right behind them, you know, outlining them. Having the flash up on a bracket actually moves those shadows down. Okay. Now, I just want to reiterate again, everything that I'm talking about for shooting a wedding, even if you never plan on shooting a wedding in your life, these are all helpful things for all the other types of event photography. And at some time, especially if you're the go-to photographer in your family or your group of friends, you're going to be asked to shoot some sort of event, whether it be a wedding, a graduation, a party, something. And all of these things that I'm talking about in terms of planning, in terms of using a flash, existing light, bracket, all that kind of stuff, ISO, will help you regardless of the assignment. Which gets us into also just the whole etiquette thing. And I know I've brought that up before. And actually, I have a whole show on etiquette that I haven't aired yet. But remember, as a photographer, you're representing a choice that the bride and groom have made, or whomever hired you, to represent them in a professional way. So that means being nice, first of all, being professional. If people are acting a little irritating, that does not mean that you have the right to act irritating back. Your job, because you're the professional, is to stay cool and try to handle the situation the best that you can. And one of the situations that comes up are where other people want to take shots while you're working. Now, here's the way that I handle that. And this happens mainly with the events and with group shots. So what I do is I ask everyone who's kind of hanging around there with a camera, looks like they're going to try to sneak one in on me, I ask them to hold their shots until I get the shots that I want. Because I've set up the shot, I'm going to take it. I ask them to hold their shots. And then after I get the pictures that I want, I hold the group shot. I don't let them disperse. And then I make it kind of fun. And I say, okay, now I'm going to turn you over to the paparazzi. And so then I step back and I let everyone who wants to take a picture take their shots. And it's kind of fun. And the paparazzi thing occurred to me because it's sort of pop, 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 you know, with all the flashes and stuff. And as long as they don't take too long, I'm okay with it. And then we move on to the next group shot. I remind everyone to hold their flashes until I'm done, turn them over to the paparazzi, and it works out really great. It's a very good PR thing, you know, because people feel like that, you know, the photographer's being cooperative and sharing, but yet it doesn't slow down the wedding shots too much. So there's kind of a little inside tip. Now, once you've finished the wedding, and if you're shooting it digitally, you're going to have a lot of shots that you need to organize. And again, I really recommend that you use something such as Lightroom, iPhoto 6, Aperture, Light Zone, something like that to organize your shots. iView Media Pro to organize your shots and get them, you know, call the best ones, rate them. And then I think it's very nice, as soon as you can, one of the advantages to shooting digital is that you can share the shots faster. So even though you're going to make prints, or probably you're going to make prints for your customers, I like to get a web page up or get the images into something like Shutterfly where other people can see them and get those out there as soon as possible. Now, what some photographers do, and I don't do this because I'm not really in the business of selling prints. I don't care about that so much. I may change my mind someday, but right now I'm more into it for the shooting of it. But what some photographers do is that they have cards that they hand out at the reception that will have their name and the URL where the pictures will be. And, you know, it says something about when they'll be there. And they hand that out to all the folks that are at the reception. And this is particularly good if you want to sell prints to people or make them available. Then right away, everyone knows where to go and they know where the images are. And then they can just order directly through whatever service you're using. So if you're into that, that's really a handy approach. But either way, make sure that if you can, get some pictures up online, at least for the couple to look at, and the family and friends and so forth, while you're doing the other stuff, you know, while you're making the prints and handling all the other stuff, right away they can feel good about their wedding and know that everything turned out okay. I'll put a few more tips, wedding tips, on the show notes, but I just sort of wanted to give you an overview. And if you're don't even plan on shooting a wedding, but someone asks you to help by taking candids and so forth at a wedding this year, keep this stuff in mind. And just keep one other thing in mind, which is if there is a professional photographer that's hired, I would recommend that you introduce yourself to him. Go to the rehearsal if he goes, or as early on in the wedding day as you can, and say that you're going to be shooting candids, that you're going to stay out of his way, but that also that, you know, you want to get some shots too. And personally, I think that's great when other people are shooting candids, because I just think you have better odds of getting, you know, this full-bodied, capturing this full-bodied experience. But it is good to communicate with a photographer about it. And hopefully he will be a reasonable, rational, professional photographer and will let you do your thing too. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week. We'll talk more about event photography as we get into event season. Just wanted to plant a seed because it's March, and guess what? People are starting to get married already. And before you know it, people are going to be graduating from school. Okay, so I'll be back next week. I'll have something interesting for you, I promise. Keep working on photo assignment, friends. Send in those grab shots. I just love the notes and everything, and let's just keep it going, folks. All right, bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.